This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you are here with another episode of Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot, and I am joined this week by Colby.
Hello.
How are we doing?
Good, thanks.
Getting a bit sweaty in the studio.
No aircon.
Yeah, I know. It's a tragic day here in Melbourne because there is no air conditioning and it's about 30 degrees almost, maybe, and it gets very, very stuffy. But either way, we're not talking about the weather. Not for the full show, anyway. We are actually going to be talking about video game sales figures because a couple of big games are cracking into like these lists of the best-selling video games of all time. So it's really interesting to look at those games and look at their success and determine why they're so successful and how they fit into the hierarchy of some of these biggest games ever. So I'm excited.
Yeah, and I mean, really, because I think there were two games that sort of made us look into this.
Yeah, we noticed a couple of big news stories coming out.
Well, Grand Theft Auto 5 was still one of the biggest selling games last year, and that's been out for almost 5 years.
Yeah, I think it was like it sold 15 million copies last year alone. I'm like, how does a video game that came out 5 years ago have such longevity? But then, yeah, it sold 15 million, which totals the game at 90 million units
sold.
It's
kind of like Michael Jackson's Thriller. It's like, yeah. If you have a video game console, you need to have Grand Theft Auto.
It's just something that never dies, does it?
No.
And I think part of that success is the online scene of Grand Theft Auto. We'll get into that real soon, but we also... Like, the other big news story that came about is that PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, something we talk about probably way too often as the Checkpoint team, but once again, their sales figures are just looming over the competition because, how much is it? It's 30 million PC sales and 4 million Xbox One sales, which puts it at 34 million units sold, coming in at, that makes it the seventh best-selling video game ever.
And to put that in some perspective, it's like Pokemon Red and Blue sold 31 million together, and that was a phenomenon. It's outsold games like New Super Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt, Diablo 3, and it's been out really for less than a year.
Yeah, it came out on Steam Early Access during the early stretches of last year, so it really has been about a year in place, and that year has been all on PC. The Xbox One version only came out December of last year, and no PlayStation version at all. So really, like, this game could come out on PlayStation, see another 4 million units sold, and look what we're looking at. Suddenly this behemoth gets even bigger.
Well, you know, 4 million copies on Xbox in less than 2 months is pretty incredible, because I think Xbox has probably sold 40 million consoles worldwide. So if it's an exclusive for them, then that's good news for Xbox.
Oh, it was massive. Like, for Xbox to pick this up, it was huge. So what do you think these video game sales figures means? Like, why is it certain games get this insane level of popularity? And what do, like, developers, what can they do with that success?
Well, I think with Grand Theft Auto 5, I think, one of the things... You know, the interesting thing is that there are a lot of good games out there that don't sell well, and there are a lot of really bad games that sell millions and millions of copies, but Grand Theft Auto 5 in a lot of ways I think is just really, it's like the ultimate sandbox new generation of video games. Mm-hmm. Like the current sort of state room with consoles and things like that, I think the type of game that Grand Theft Auto has always been, it's just sort of like reached its zenith, and it's like, this is pretty much the best it can be.
And when you're selling 15 million units a year, why even release a Grand Theft Auto 6? Like, what's the point? Just keep focusing on Grand Theft Auto 5, right?
Yeah.
Because I just like other developers would love to see their game sell 15 million units on the year it releases, let alone 5 years down the track.
Yeah, and, you know, we were talking before that the way that the online aspect of the game has just evolved over time has just made sure it keeps going as well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, have you played it online before?
No, I actually like never bothered. It's not one of those things, like I'm happy to play through a campaign, but often the online features of a video game just won't interest me that much because I've got other projects I want to move on to and other games to play.
It's really interesting because I never thought I'd get into it very much either, but one of the great things about Grand Theft Auto 5, and I think why it appeals to a lot of people, is you can sort of play it how you want to play it. So if you want to go around, you know, like and just shoot everyone and get in car chases and blow things up, you can, and the game will group you with players that play the same way that you do. Mm. So you don't get stuck. So if you're someone just likes to chill and do your own thing, you don't get stuck in a game with a bunch of like murderous gang members. You know, and because you know you can buy properties, you can buy your house, buy your apartment, you can get cars and things, do missions for money. So when you're playing online, it's almost just like, it's kind of like Animal Crossing,
right?
But more,
it just
adult.
Gives you the freedom to like do what you want to do.
It's not quite Second Life, but it's almost there. But also because it's driving mechanics and all of that, and it's shooting is so well done, you know, it's sort of like a racing game, a shooting game, you know, everything.
It has all these aspects, and players will jump into servers that like provide for them what they want. So some places will just do races, some places will do a whole bunch of different modded versions.
And I guess
the
other thing with Grand Theft Auto is just because so many people have grown up with it as a series, I think there are a lot of gamers that are probably now old enough to buy it for themselves, because it's always been R18, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been picking people up along the way.
So it's interesting. We've talked about, so far we've talked about the monolith that is Grand Theft Auto 5, and also PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, which come in at number 3 and 7 respectively on the list of the best selling video games ever. And I should point out, we are, a lot of our information, not all of it, the PUBG sales figures are new, but a lot of the other information is coming straight from Wikipedia. So please take this podcast with a grain of salt. We're talking about it in a generalized sense, because these sales figures will be near enough to accurate, but often, you know, some companies don't even release their sales figures, so sometimes it can't be perfectly accurate. It's kind of a, take it with a grain of salt, but, you know.
And, you know, but one of the interesting things looking at this list of, you know, best-selling games of all time is that the top 4 games have each sold more than 80 million copies each. But then you go down to number 5, and it's around the 40 million mark, which just shows sort of like the dominance of these. You know, but we can take Wii Sports out, because that came with the Wii, and you had to have it. So if you bought a Wii, you got it. So
Wii Sports is sitting at almost 83 million units sold.
Exactly.
So that is the 4th best-selling video game ever. But as you mentioned, if you bought a Wii, you bought Wii Sports because you had to. There was no other option.
Yeah.
So and if you sometimes you can explain why a game is sold so well by looking at stats like that.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, you could probably add up Wii Sports and Mario Kart, and that's probably the total sales for the Wii. And so if you disqualify that, then you've got, you know, Grand Theft Auto 5, Minecraft and Tetris. And I guess Tetris is, everyone has Tetris. Like, it was sold on literally everything.
I think most people probably bought Tetris like 3 or 4 times just because you had it on like your old Android phone, and then you got a new phone.
You
and
had
you
it on your
again,
computers.
You
people just ripped
PC
it off, but it
day.
Was the same thing. And it had, you know, it basically sold the Game Boy. And, you know, of course, that's famous as well because the guy that made it never made any money from it.
Ridiculous.
Which
isn't
is
it?
Unfortunate. But that's back in the day, Soviet Russia for you. So if we disqualify that as well, because, you know, no one person made it, you basically got Minecraft, Grand Theft Auto, and then you start getting into some Mario.
Yeah, a lot of Nintendo titles. We should probably talk about Minecraft, though. What a freaking game. That was made almost exclusively by one dude.
You know, I've never played it. Never played Minecraft.
Oh, Colby, no. Look, I don't think Minecraft is the perfect game. I don't think anyone's going to claim that. But what it did do was inspire an entire genre of games that came after it, trying to emulate the same kind of freedom that you got from Minecraft, in that you could literally shape the world to your whim, and you could use those resources to rebuild it in whatever way you wanted. You know, Minecraft really did allow for people to put on their creativity hats and do whatever they want within the world. And that was just exacerbated by the fact that modding came out, and the modding scene around Minecraft was phenomenal. It was huge. And so you had all these mods coming in for the game that just totally changed the way the game played and improved all Minecraft shortcomings And Minecraft was a phenomenon, obviously. And then it was purchased off... was it EA who purchased it, or was it...
I have absolutely no idea.
I think it might be Microsoft. Wow, please do not take this as gospel. But I think it might be Microsoft who purchased Minecraft off Notch, who was the guy who developed the game originally.
I hope they paid him appropriately.
It was a huge deal. I don't have the stats in front of me, but look it up. I think it's in the billions. Like, it's just the game is that much of a... Like, not many games come out that can say they've sold this many copies.
And people use the engine for other games, do they? Or am I wrong?
I know that Minecraft has a huge modding scene, so maybe people create, like, mods of the game and create their own games through that, but I don't know about the engine specifically.
Yeah.
But that would be an interesting thing to look up. But yeah, Minecraft just became this phenomenon, and obviously Tetris too, but the funny thing with Tetris is you can buy it for like 40 cents on your phone, and that counts towards a sales figure. So it's like you're almost weighing up apples and oranges when you look at something like Tetris and compare it to something like Grand Theft Auto 5.
Well, it's like if you compared it to like a board game of chess, do you know what I mean? It's like there are so many different
chess
versions.
Has ever sold.
Well, I mean, that we could certainly do an intimates about like best-selling board games. They are games. That is relevant.
Of course. But I don't know where you even get those statistics from.
I don't even know how people get the Tetris, the Tetris statistics, because no one's paying any royalties.
Estimation. But I think it's safe to say it's the best-selling video game ever. Just the amount of different iterations it's had. And
yeah,
the amount
of on phones.
It's availability. It's just been everywhere. Like, Tetris has been everywhere.
And, you know, Pong's not there. Because I would have thought,
it's interesting,
you know,
isn't it? Yeah, some of those old-school games, like Space Invaders and stuff like that, you might expect... because they've made so many different ports of it. But they don't kind of show up on the list, really, when you're looking at old-school games. It's really
maybe
Tetris.
They just came out at the wrong time.
I don't know.
Was Minecraft a free game?
No.
No, okay. I was gonna try and argue that Grand Theft Auto 5 is technically the best-selling
game.
Well, that is true.
So, no, Minecraft had an original version, which I do believe was free, but then they made... Minecraft, like, they rebooted it. It was its new thing, and that's what these sales figures are indicating, that those sales. Yeah, Minecraft was massive. And Nintendo has a huge showing within, like, the top list of video game sales ever as well.
Which is interesting, because their consoles have never really been the biggest selling ones in history, like, if we're, you know, splitting hairs. But they do have a knack for attachment rates with their games and their consoles. But I guess that's because when you buy Nintendo, you buy it primarily to buy Nintendo games. So it sort of sails them all in there.
It's basically, like, looking at the list now, you've got Wii Sports, number 4, 83 million, as we mentioned earlier. And then it's Super Mario Bros., the original, 40 million units sold. A game that was worth every single purchase, I believe.
Yeah, I've owned it multiple times.
Yeah, I think I do too. Yeah. And then Mario Kart for the Wii, 37 million. And that's just a testament to the Wii success, isn't it? Like, the fact that these games are selling within the tens of millions is crazy.
Well, the Wii success in general just always kind of confused me because...
Well, the Wii, like, appealed to people who weren't even gamers. My mum bought a Wii and she just has no interest in video games.
I remember it was certainly the most well-priced, like, of its competitors at the time.
And they had the gimmick of, obviously, the motion controls, which kind of stuck with people for whatever reason.
They brought us those, you know, videos of people throwing their controllers, like, into the TV or, like, falling, like, through a table and things like that. So it brought us many things other than video games, the Wii did.
Good times. And then you got stuff like Wii Sports Resort, Pokemon Red and Blue, new Super Mario Bros., new Super Mario Bros. For the Wii. And then the Elder Scrolls The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim. You shouldn't really say V. The Elder Scrolls V. So that, obviously, has sold, once again, like a lot of the other games on this list, has sold in many iterations. Because you had, you know, the original release, and then the Ultimate Edition, and then... the Special Edition, and then...
But it is one of the only
sales.
Games up there in the top list that hasn't been packaged with a console.
That's true. So a lot of these game sales, like, they seem potentially inflated because... they came out with a console release, and they came in as, like, a package deal. So you look at Wii Sports, for instance, and you couldn't purchase You couldn't purchase a Wii without Wii Sports. Yeah, I have that,
and I've only ever played it once. Like, I played the tennis to see what it was like, and then it went back on the shelf.
Yeah, so lots of people own those kind of games because they came packaged in. But Skyrim has never been a packaged game. Even stuff like Grand Theft Auto and Minecraft at some point within their life were packaged games. Like, they weren't... Like, it might have been a one-month or a two-month deal, but, like, they became packaged games. Same with PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Like, they sold it as a package deal with the Xbox One for a while. So... It's interesting that those package deals often inflate the sales numbers, and yet there's still some video games that sneak their way in there, such as Pokemon Red and Blue, New Super Mario Bros., and The Legend of Zelda... The Elder Scrolls Skyrim, because, yeah, it's cool. It's cool to see those games really succeed amongst others.
And it's interesting because, you know, a lot of the games are quite old games, but there are a few recent ones that have just sold really quickly. Like, a lot of these games are sort of pre-2010, except for, you know, the Grand Theft Auto 5s of this world, you know, the Minecraft. We're saying, like, the way PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is going, you know, by the end of the year, that could be up there as well.
Well, yeah.
And it'll become an institution.
And we've had this conversation before with Grand Theft Auto 5, because it sold so well last year, it's probably going to sell similarly this year. Like, that game could quite easily topple some of the, you know, Tetris or Minecraft as far as the amount of units sold in its lifetime. And it looks like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds might be moving in that direction too.
The only unfortunate thing I do think about, you know, like Grand Theft Auto 5 in particular, and we were talking about earlier, is that when a game's doing so well, you've really got no reason to go and make a sequel. Do you know what
I
mean?
It is unfortunate, isn't it? But, yeah. Well, look, I mean...
Because you were saying that, because if you don't play it online... Right, and you've already played the campaign, you're probably not going to play it again.
Yeah.
And it's certainly one of those series that, you know, I always think it's just been a highlight of, you know, the consoles that it's on. And it's always interesting to see what the, you know, the setting of the next one's going to be like and things like that. But I sort of get the feeling with that, it you know, they've sort of gone as far as they can go.
Well, they're like, video games are almost being made as a service now. Like, rather than having, like... a game release and then you're working on the sequel, now you have a game release and you're working on DLC or an online hub where you can constantly sell microtransactions, or you're figuring out a way to prolong the life of that one game. And obviously Rockstar have done a fantastic job prolonging the life of Grand Theft Auto 5, and as long as they can keep prolonging it, why bring out a 6?
And they've been doing it with free updates as well. Like, yep. They haven't been selling like add-ons or packages and things like that. Which is an interesting way to do it, because a lot of games companies, they don't quite do it like they do.
Well, not everybody can see the wild success that is Rockstar Games, unfortunately.
Yeah, with all of their cash, they're like, we don't need any more money.
But it'll be so interesting to see if they can, because they are releasing Red Dead Redemption 2. So if they can keep the player base of Grand Theft Auto and also have something similar coming with Red Dead Redemption 2, and see if they can keep both of those communities really thriving and happy and constantly see those sales rolling in, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's likely that it's going to move in that direction, just because of how successful those video games and those franchises have become. Anyway, that's about all the time we've got. We've been discussing like the best-selling video games of all time, which is... a crazy thing to think of when you're talking about the hundreds of millions. Like, how do you even comprehend those level of sales? But thank you, Colby, for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. And be sure to join us next week, because we're going to go intimate once again.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.